Thank you for joining us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. This is a sermon from our pastor, Dr. Johnny Funderburg, from November 19th, 2017. It's entitled, God's Church, My Calling, Part 2, True Thanksgiving. Now, here's Pastor Johnny.
Congregationally, we turn to the Lord with open arms and we say, thank you, Father God, for the blessings that you give to us. Thanksgiving is in our hearts because the Spirit of God produces honor and glory and thanksgiving unto the Lord. This morning, in the spirit of thanksgiving, I want to continue in the series I began last week, God's Church and My Calling. Sometime back, I went into a bookstore. Perusing around, I found a book titled How to Sin Yourself into Poverty. I pulled the book out, began to look through it, and the author had some good ideas. He had some scriptural truths incorporated into his book, How to Sin Yourself into Poverty. But as I looked through the book, I realized that the authors of the New Testament had said essentially the same thing. They could have written that same book. How we can sin ourselves into poverty. Through the stories Jesus told, the parables that he used, the teachings he employed, God is showing us just how easy it is for us to get twisted up, confused, out of sync with God when it comes to this issue of money. How we lose our spirit of giving thanks when it comes to finances. The New Testament absolutely points to some of these issues, that problems, sins, sin attitudes that we can fall into when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, but out of step with him when it comes to our finances. First is the story of the rich fool, a story that the Lord Jesus told, found in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. The story that Jesus told actually existed because of a question asked him by a man in his congregation. Jesus was speaking, and so a crowd gathered to hear what he had to say. And some wine bag lifted his hand and said, Lord, will you tell my brother to act right? Will you tell my brother that he needs to divide the inheritance with me? Instead of responding the way I probably would have, Jesus said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then Jesus told this story, the story of the rich fool. And in this story, Jesus condemns pride, self-consumption, spirit being spiritually blind, and one who thinks not of the needs of others. In fact, Jesus made this rich fool as obnoxious as he could be. Jesus even has this rich fool in his story carrying on a conversation with himself. He says something like, "Self, you lucky rascal, you have worked long and hard, and you have built yourself some wonderful things. You've paid your dues. You deserve a little R&R. So take some time off. Retire if you want to. Have some fun. Go on vacation. Travel, golf, fish, live it up. Have no worries. Go spend your money for goodness sakes. You certainly have plenty of it. And live long and prosperous, enjoying all your riches." Only then, Jesus informs this rich man that he was a fool. For he says, this rich man's future will not be what he thinks it will be. Jesus says to him in verse 20, "Fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. And then whose things will be which you have provided?" And he goes on to say, "So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Here the Lord points to one of our greatest enemies when it comes to honoring God and carrying a spirit of thankfulness with our finances. Jesus shows why selfishness will kill the spirit of thanksgiving. He pictures this man standing before all of his accrued wealth, thinking to himself, "I did this. I built this. I worked for this. And this is mine. And I can do with it what I want, because it's mine." A couple of passages may put things into perspective. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." All good things we have been given have come from the Father. John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Pretty self-explanatory. Without me, you can't do a thing. 2 Corinthians 9:10 and 11, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything, for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Listen again. God blesses for the purpose of liberality. God blesses so that we might bless others. God gives because he trusts us to give again. What this man did not understand was that God was the source of his riches. God was the keeper of his life. That the man was neither master of his finances nor master of his fate. And though he considered himself to be hugely successful, a big shot around town, God said he was a fool. He was a fool because he thought himself to be the master of his life and money. You know, when my kids were in college, my wife would periodically send a care package, you know, load it down with cookies she made and all kinds of stuff, the type of candy each of them liked. And she would package it up and put their name on it and then send it UPS for my daughter to Canyon at WT and for my son at Texas A&M, and all hopes that they would receive this package and that they would enjoy what's inside. But what if the UPS guy was hungry as he's driving his truck and he smells something in those boxes that smells good to him? So he takes his knife and he opens it up, and to his glee, there are lots of goodies, and he helps himself to the things that my wife had packaged and sent through him to my son and daughter. And if we approached him and said, "Why did you do that?" And he would say, "Well, you gave it to me." Yes, we gave them to you so that you would deliver them to our kids. Well, you gave it to me. I thought it was mine to do with what I wanted. And so the reason we gave was not fulfilled. God blesses. And the good things you have are from the Lord. But indeed, he's not giving it to you so that you can do with as you want. You are not the keeper of the blessings of God. You are the UPS driver. And you are to receive and then honor the Lord in how he blesses. The rich fool, the second individual that Jesus dealt with concerning thanksgiving for finances, is the rich young ruler. We all kind of know that guy, a wealthy young aristocrat who had a deep spiritual side. And so he went to Jesus. I mean, this guy had a passion to know what to do, to honor God. And so he went to the Lord and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" His attitude was, "Man, I've done all good things." Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, murder, steal, bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and mother." And the guy said, "I've done all that." Standing in a sense of pride, he says, I've kept all of those since I was a boy." Jesus said, "Okay, here's one thing you lack. sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have your treasure in heaven, and then take up your cross and follow me. And the guy walked away sorrowful, for he had great possession. I don't think this rich young ruler's problem was a lack of faith. The young man had great faith. He had real passion. Spirituality was very important to him. The problem this rich young ruler was this. He separated his spiritual life from his finances. This is my spiritual life, and I honor God in this way. I honor God in these areas, and he's important to me, and I seek to walk with him and not bear false witness, not steal, not do all of these things. But there's that. But then there's this. This is, you know, my life on earth. These are my dollars and cents. These are my finances. There was in his mind a separation between his faith and his finances. That reminds me of a story about Ivan the Great. The story is called The Unbaptized Arm. Ivan the Great wanted to marry the daughter of the king of Greece. And the king said, I will permit this if you will join the Greek Orthodox Church. This is a true story. And so the king sent a priest to Russia to Ivan to train and teach him in the catechism. So the day came when Ivan the Great showed up in Greece and met the king there wanting to marry his daughter. The purpose of this meeting was to baptize Ivan the Great into the Greek Orthodox Church. A problem arose, though, because when Ivan came, 500 of his men followed, 500 of his best troops, 500 soldiers with sword in scabbard. Well, they rounded up 500 more priests, and the priest gave these 500 followers of Ivan a quick study in the catechism. A short time passed, and then the day came when all 500 men, followers, soldiers, and their leader, Ivan the Great, in the Mediterranean Sea to be baptized into the Greek Orthodox Church. But just before it happened, someone stopped the procession and said, this isn't right. You can't be a member of the church and a killer at the same time. So someone came up with the idea. We'll baptize them, but the soldiers will take their sword out of their scabbard and hold it up so that when they're baptized, they go into the water. The sword in the arm will stay out. It's called the unbaptized arm. You know, I've been in church a while, and I've known a number of people who were baptized like this. My finances are mine. I got my faith and I got my finances. It's an issue of lordship. And finally, The last is the parable of the talents. I forgot to get my water. If I'm going to keep going, I better grab this. Somebody says, well, just don't worry about it. Just stop right there. No, I'm going to keep going. Parable of the talents found in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. The story is that an owner gave to his servants five talents, two talents, and one talent, respectively. The term talents refers to a weight of gold or silver or bronze. The owner went away, and when he returned, he checked on his servants, and he found that the servant with five talents had doubled the five, and now he had 10. The one with two had also doubled, and he had 4. But the man with one talent admitted that he just buried the talent, fearing the master. Listen, look in verses 24 through 28 of Matthew 25. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming back I would have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. The key, and you know, I've never seen this in this passage before, but the key to understanding this servant, one talent servant, the key to realizing why he did what he did is found in verse 24. Then he who received the one talent said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. There it is. That's the key. It was his attitude toward the owner. He feared him. And not in a spirit of awe and reverence, but in a spirit that, sir, you're in this for yourself and you don't care about me. In fact, the term hard actually means to be parched. The root is the word parched. And what he was saying is, sir, I know you to be someone who will take everything from me. I see you as someone who, when you leave, I will be sucked dry. His attitude was, you're a hard man, and I can't trust you. There are people, Christians, who feel that way about God. I know I should honor you with my finances. I know that I should let you be Lord over all of my life, but man, I'm just scared to tithe. I'm just scared to give because I'm not sure that God really will take care of me. I see God as more of a hard man, and if I give my money, I may be left parched, sucked dry. When my son Ryan, y'all haven't met him yet. I look forward to the day you can meet. You've met my daughter and son-in-law. I look forward to the day you can meet Ryan and his new bride, Lizzie. But when Ryan was about 3 or 4 or something, right around that age, he was eating some potato chips one day. He had a bag of potato chips, and he was eating the chips. And I walked by, and I grabbed one. He took it out of my hand. He said, "No, Daddy, these are mine." So I just sat there and watched him. And he kept eating the chips for a few minutes. And finally he finished. But then he rolled them up. And he said, "Daddy, you don't eat these. These are mine. I'm through right now, but I'll want these later." So, Daddy, don't eat these. There are 3 points that my son didn't understand. Point one was, I bought that blooming bag of chips. The boy would not have known what potato chips were it not for me. Secondly, he failed to realize that there was another whole bag of chips in the pantry. That when he finished that bag, there was another one that he could partake of. And then thirdly, what he didn't realize was when he ate that bag and ate the other bag in the pantry, I could go to the store and buy another one. I could fill that whole blooming house with potato chip packages. But my son didn't trust his daddy. And so he kept that package to himself and wouldn't share a chip. I thought, well, that's how 3-year-olds think. And I thought, that's how 20-year-olds think. That's how 50-year-olds think. No, God, it's mine. Not going to share. Because I don't trust you enough. To provide. If I give. Make sense? I really, really debated hard as to preaching this message. But then I realized this. I would not be your pastor. And I wouldn't be a good friend if I didn't tell you what the truth is about our walk with God and our finances. I want to encourage you, every one of you. I want to encourage you to step out of selfishness, to step out of that spirit of separation, that this is my faith and this is my finances, and the two will not meet. And step out of that fear that you can't trust the Father. We are trusting Him that when we close our eyes for the last time and breath leaves our body, we're trusting Him that He's going to take us into the kingdom. We're trusting Him with eternity. We can trust Him with our finances. Honor God. Honor God with your money. Every one of us. It's an issue of lordship in our lives. Bow your head with me. Father, I pray that in this season of Thanksgiving, that our hearts will be made full because we know who is the giver of all good things. You really are. You give and we receive. But you could stop and we would not have. It's you. And we trust you as our Father. We trust you as Lord over our lives and our finances. We take this step of faith to say, yes, I will give and I will trust you to meet my needs. Lordship.
You've just heard God's Church, My Calling, Part 2, True Thanksgiving, by Dr. Johnny Funderburg, pastor of Highland Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us at HighlandClovis.com. We hope you'll join us in person at Highland, located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis, New Mexico. Our Sunday morning service is at 10 a.m. We hope to see you soon. Thank you for listening.